And now, from the world's leading maritime and offshore news website, gcaptain.com, comes the talk show for maritime professionals and enthusiasts, bringing you the latest news, discussion, and interviews with the industry's movers and shakers. This is G Captain Radio with your hosts, Jeff Eccles and Captain John Conrad.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of G Captain Radio. My name is Jeff Eccles and in the studio with me is John Conrad. We are your hosts. Welcome, John. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Good to see you, John. This broadcast is for the week of January 27th, 2014. Listeners, this is the place we bring you the latest news and happenings in the maritime and offshore industry. Today, we have several interesting things to talk about. A little bit of a follow-up from last week's broadcast about our Penga boats, which will lead us into a discussion of piracy and how that is trending in the new year of 2014. If we have a chance, we'll talk about the Panama Canal a little bit, little news from Hollywood regarding Captain Phillips, and we'll see what we can squeeze in there, John. So first off, this broadcast is for the week of January 27th, 2014, which means we are already winding down January.
Yes.
What happened to the year, to the month?
I don't know.
It's starting off just as fast as 2013 went.
I think time goes a little slower here because we don't have any snow to shovel.
That's true. Well, and we've had an amazing winter, so it's almost been like one long summer here. We certainly haven't had winter at all here as far as the season goes in the central coast of California. So we've been enjoying 70 to 80 degree weather here in Morro Bay, which is unheard of.
The worst drought in decades, which makes for pleasant beach weather.
Yes, I've got friends that are avocado growers, and they're not so happy, though, about things, about the drought. We talked last week, John, about the Penga boat situation, and I made a promise on the air.
Yes, you did.
Do you remember what that promise was?
You were going to write your local representative.
I did, and I haven't, I hate to admit this, because I'm a big proponent of being active in our republic, and so I haven't written my representative in a long time. It's probably been a number of years.
Wow, I'm surprised.
At least a number of years. I'm involved in local politics here, as you know.
Heavily involved.
Yes, but at the national level, this is probably the first time I've written my representative in 8, 9, 10 years.
Hmm.
So that also speaks to the importance of this issue. So without further delay, I'm going to read for you and the listeners what I wrote. Our congressperson is a woman. Her name is Lois Capps. So here's the letter that I wrote to her, and I went to the website to get the address, and they recommend sending an email. So I sent the email to her address. Honorable Representative Capps, I am chairman of the Harbor Advisory Board for the City of Morro Bay. However, I am writing you on behalf of myself as a citizen and voter in your district, not on behalf of the board. I am deeply concerned with the influx of illegal Penga boat smugglers on our coast. I was hoping, since the tragic death of United States Coast Guard Chief Petty Officer Terrell Horn in December of 2012, while encountering Penga boat smugglers, additional resources would be deployed to keep our shores safe. I implore you to deploy additional resources to this growing problem. My children play on the very beaches on which these Penga boats have landed. My fishermen friends and recreational boaters such as myself traverse the very waters on which these Pengas are claiming as their route to enter our country. Please let me know what your office is doing to avert this problem that threatens the safety and well-being of us living on the Central Coast, and if there is anything I can do to help. Respectfully, Jeff Eccles, resident and voter, City of Morro Bay. That's what I sent her. There, interestingly enough, was a checkbox below that said, would you like to receive a response, or you don't need to receive a response? Well, this is a very passionate subject that we're speaking about.
Yes.
For you and I and our fellow mariners, so of course I want to receive a response. Well, it wasn't too long after I sent my email I got this response. Thank you for your email. I always appreciate hearing from constituents regarding the issues before Congress. I will keep in mind your opinions and concerns as we move forward. You may also be interested in connecting with me online in several ways. And she gives her web page and her Facebook page and her YouTube page and her Twitter account.
Yes.
Thank you again for contacting my office.
To visit in case you don't want any updates on a specific issue.
Right. So I'm suspecting here, John, that that is the reply to my letter to her, that that will most likely be my only reply. I will be pleasantly surprised if I get some type of personal reply from one of her aides, or God forbid, from my actual representative. Now, listeners, we also are in a fairly small county. I think the representatives are apportioned pretty well throughout the nation, but we live in a small county on West Coast standards anyway, California standards. We have about 200,000 people in our county, and in our congressional districts are certainly much smaller than, of course, our senatorial district, because we've got so many millions of people in our state here. So I would hope that I would get some type of response, but we'll see what happens. So I followed through on it, John. I'm proud of myself. I feel like I've done my civic duty. I feel like I've stood up for our brothers and sisters in the Coast Guard, and we'll see what happens.
I must say I have an issue with this letter, though.
Oh, you do?
See, how here, this particular podcast is supposed to work now here, Jeff.
Yeah, tell me,
John. As I tell people, you know, as I told Jeff when I started this radio, you know, they say some people have a face for radio. Well, I have a voice for the written word. This is not my normal medium of transport. In fact, we were just talking about our excellent Joe Bowman, who's our audio engineer, one of the most talented in the business, worked at big stations down in LA, has to painstakingly go through the podcast every week and remove the myriad of ooms and ahs and other stuff that I say. You are the radio expert. You have the booming voice. But I am supposed to be the writer of this group. I'm the one who has published a book. I am the blogger.
Yes.
You're not supposed to upstage me on the radio is one thing, but this is a very well-written letter which tugs at the emotional core of our listeners.
Well, thank you. I think that was a painfully delivered compliment in there somewhere, John. Well, you know, I will say this, that part of my job in the financial services industry over the last 25 years has been relating to people and selling, just, you know, any profession, really. I mean, you as a sea captain, when you come on board a new vessel, part of your job, whether you like it or not, is selling yourself to your crew so they're going to fall in line and perform. So we all are salespeople in a certain respect, but I've written a lot of sales-oriented and marketing letters, so I know that anytime you can tug at the heartstrings talking about children, that it makes it more poignant. And of course, this is a very important and poignant issue.
Excellent. I took a class with Lee Chesnow, who's probably the best weather forecaster of NOAA. Now he teaches weather and wrote a book for Mariners, highly suggested, about the 500 millibar line. But he said all the letters that he's ever seen sent to congressmen, a lot of them get forwarded to his office. They want to do this, you know, when NOAA says they got to, because of budget, remove certain products from the weather forecast, or they want to add something else. You get forward them from the congressman, but he said the only ones that ever made a difference were the ones from individual fishermen that were just one long string of curse words about how Noah's going to kill them if they remove this particular weather forecast. So I am impressed with the letter, but I have written my congressman in the last few years, and I've also learned some techniques for cutting to the source. So I also did a little bit of homework here,
mm-hmm.
except I did not write my congressman.
Who did you write, John?
I wrote Coast Guard Headquarters.
Wow.
So go right to the top.
Went to the source.
We've interviewed the previous commandant and some admirals, and they are usually very forthcoming with information. So I wrote an email. I would have probably been better off copying and pasting yours if you had CC'd me. But I said...
And did you get a response?
I did get a response.
Well, then share with us
I won't read the whole letter I wrote, but I said, GCAPM works hard to verify our information before publishing it. And we rarely write opinion pieces. It's also rare for us to criticize the Coast Guard in any way, as we at GCAPTAIN consider ourselves supporters of your organization. That said, one element of our new structure that's completely unscripted is our weekly podcast. And then I went into share how I had frustrations with the Coast Guard response to the Panga incident and how they've been so effective at stopping this problem from happening in the Santa Barbara Channel and safe. And that's the direct reason why we are here. And I did interview some fishermen. I have talked to the local Coast Guard who went off the record and some local law enforcement, and they all had the same thing to say. We don't know what to do if we see a panga or what's going on. And we haven't seen any. The Coast Guard station here in Morro Bay, and I say this in my letter, is excellent. They've actually been the ones who have found these. So they are alert. They're awake. They're great. But they seem to be alone. We haven't seen any aerial surveillance. We haven't seen, I mean, anchor a cutter right here in Estero Bay for a few weeks and the problem will go away. Where the helicopters, where the C-130s, none of this seems to be overhead. And we might just be missing it because it's at night.
So back up here a second, though, because you said something that I think deserves a little bit further explanation. You said when you spoke to, was it somebody at the Coast Guard, kind of off the record?
Yes.
They said that if they see a panga, they don't know what to do? I would assume you're referring to some type of coordinated effort.
Thank you for the clarification. Okay. The Coast Guard individual did not say that they know what to do. They've been effective. They've been on the lookout. They spotted, but they can only see the pangas that go by their particular patrols. What is effective here is aerial surveillance. Now, the people who don't know what to do are all the local professional mariners, the fishermen who go out of the port at night. They are our eyes and ears of the local area. Now, the Coast Guard does not have an officer, all the local Coast Guard, who again are excellent, enlisted. There's not an officer within a few hundred miles. So one of the questions I asked is there a communications officer we can go talk to? But there's been no effort to publicize, to tell mariners to be on the lookout here that I've been able to recognize. The Coast Guard certainly hasn't come down with an information officer saying, this is what you need to look out for. These are the times they tend to hit. These are the times you really want to, you know, and what contacts do you call about? All fast-moving boats that are on the radar that you're not sure about, or only individual boats that don't have running lights that are going over 40 knots? You know, these are critical facts that, shared with the fishermen here by a Coast Guard officer, may be effective. So the Coast Guard wrote back extremely long series of emails, really digging into this topic. But I don't have time to read them all. But they said, I'll read this paragraph directly. I've consulted with our enforcement branch, and we still cannot provide details of patrol areas. But as you mentioned, there are U.S. Coast Guard assets assigned to your area, along with those of partner agencies. These assets include Station Morro Bay, which you mentioned. Coast Guard C-130 overflights do happen, as well as patrols by Coast Guard helicopters. CBP, which is, I believe, Border Patrol?
California Border Patrol, perhaps?
That would make sense. I'm not 100% sure. Marine enforcement, aircraft, and California National Guard along the entire coast, including Estero Bay. So we know these overflights happen down south. They've eliminated the problem down south. We don't know that they're happening here. And the Coast Guard's not giving us the direct answer here. I want to be clear. There's nothing in this email that's, yes, C-130s are coming over at night. Estero Bay, where these landings are happening. They don't say that. They say that action is happening. And they have a very good reason for being private about this information. If I was a drug smuggler, I'd tune into GCAP radio and find out the latest details on Coast Guard myself. So because they want to make these flights random and stuff, they're not telling us the information. But they do enlist your help as mariners. They say, as for what should be reported, they ask that our listeners look for these vessels and report them to the Coast Guard. They say the strength of any neighborhood watch type of campaign is the local knowledge of the residents. They know what looks out of place and what looks suspicious in their areas. The same goes for Panga Watch. Your audience, professional mariners, know what looks out of place, unsafe, or suspicious. Clearly unmarked and unlit at night, multi-engine open panga boats loaded with bales of cargo or overloaded with people should be reported to the Coast Guard. And they, I asked them a lot more specific questions, like, is there any evidence that these panga boats are monitoring? Have you found in the boats that have been abandoned, are there any radios? Will they intercept the reports? They didn't answer any of those specific questions, but they said you can contact VIA 16, or if you're worried about the pangas overhearing, you can call on a cell phone if you're close to shore, or a satellite phone if you're not. And they said, please have those numbers available and ready to report all suspicious activities. So it was an email with mixed results, I'd say.
Well, I find several things interesting about that. This is a very interesting discussion for me, particularly because of my role locally here as chairman of the Harbor Advisory Board for the city of Morro Bay. It's interesting that they mention in the email that it's important for our mariner community. He or she mentioned the professional community. I think it's both should be both professional and recreational community, because we do have an active fishing fleet here, but we also have a very active recreational fleet as well. So it's important for both of those members of the mariner community to be alert. But we haven't had any outreach that I know of, and I should know of it since yes. My position in town here. We haven't had any outreach on behalf of the Coast Guard or any other partner agency to disseminate this information and this awareness. So I'll tell you something that's going to come out of this is our harbor department, at hopefully the direction of the board, because I'm going to bring it up at the advisory board. I'm going to bring this up as an issue for us and invite the Coast Guard in, or whatever agency wants to take the lead on it, any of these partner agencies, and have a talk about it, because this information needs to get out there. It's very important. Yes. Because the question is, and this is how we started this conversation, what do we do when we see one? Now, obviously, we're going to call the sheriffs or the Coast Guard. We're going to call one of those agencies. But there's no real clear protocol that we know of in the maritime industry here, or the maritime community here, that we should follow. I think if I were out there, I'd call on 16 quickly straight to the Coast Guard. That's what I would do. Because I would assume that would be the proper thing to do. So I think there needs to be some increase in communication to the mariner community, and I'm going to do my best to facilitate that.
So we're making some progress here. And I did ask them that specific question, what Coast Guard representatives have been down here to inform the local mariners, what law enforcement or local organizations, they say they've partnered with local. Had they specifically partnered with the Harbor Patrol? They have not said that. They said that they've acknowledged their willingness to.
So, because you mentioned something, and they mentioned in their email a very important phrase, partner agencies. And I'm thinking in my mind, where is the coordinated effort? Now, we know that there was, because I took a glance at one of your early emails that you sent, that you included me on. There was some type of coordinated effort closer to the border, down by San Diego or Santa Barbara or somewhere further south.
There are RECOMs. I don't know what that means, but it's some sort of organized effort in Sector Los Angeles and Sector San Francisco. So in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and I believe San Diego as well, there are these RECOMs, which are some sort of organization of local. But I asked if there's a specific RECOM in this individual area. They did not answer that question. They did not answer whether they send a representative down, but I have no proof of that. And I did specifically ask them for what information on what the mariner should be looking for. I said, is there a PDF document you can send me that lists what's suspicious, the times when these things happen? I asked, is there any YouTube videos or radio addresses where Coast Guard speaks about this we can share on the radio show? They didn't send that. They did send me a poster. So it says, be on the lookout, call 911, suspicious activities. So that's what we got. I'll share the link to the poster.
It's an interesting poster, too. You sent me that link to the poster when you were doing your research, and it's an interesting poster. I would urge the listeners to take a look at that poster.
Now, I don't want to give away the Coast Guard tactics either, and I said keep those quiet, but it seems if the Coast Guard knew exactly what the panga kind of schedule is and did some statistical analysis and published that to mariners, it would force the drug runners to change that. And in doing so, they might, you look at Somali pirates, they've started doing things at night because we knew it was all during the day, and changing their game plan, and that makes it harder for them to attack. So
it's the old squeezing as a balloon. You squeeze in somewhere and it bulges out in another area. That has occurred in piracy. We're going to talk about that in a moment or two. And that it seems to me that has also occurred here, as the crackdown has occurred closer to the border down in the Southern California area. These Panga boats have just gone out further in the ocean, and then they head due north. And when you head due north from down there, you wind up right on the central coast here, because California, if you look at a map, it bends out westerly quite a bit from the bottom to the top.
Again, we have some criticism here at GCAM over the Coast Guard response, but we're acknowledging the fact they've been effective from San Diego to Santa Barbara and stopping it. North of Santa Barbara is Vandenberg Air Force Base, the most secure Air Force Base in the world. They have more security personnel than anyone else. Just north of that is Diablo Canyon, which again has its own security personnel, military style, assault weapons, and really well secured. So we're the next vulnerable area, and I think your balloon analogy is exactly right. It's turning to balloon. And one thing I specifically asked the Coast Guard, I said, what are you doing, you know, in this particular area, Estero Bay? Their response to that was, California's big coast. We can't monitor everything. We're doing best we can. But 2 points to that I really want to bring up here, Jeff. One point to that is all of the recent landings have been within 5 miles binocular range of a fully manned, operational, and very effective Coast Guard station, one that is stationed at the third most dangerous harbor in the country. These guys know what they're doing, but all these attacks have, so it leads me to see what support are they getting from the larger organization.
It's a good point.
Number two is, I believe they've almost won this war.
Smugglers?
The Coast Guard.
Oh, the Coast Guard.
What is north of Morro Bay? What does the coastline look like?
It's rough up there. That's a Big Sur coast.
It's extremely rough.
Not very many places
sheer
to land.
Sheer cliffs and rocks. You secure this Morro Bay. This is the last. For the next 200 miles, these Panga boats, they may try. Let them go ahead and try, but they're going to put themselves at significant risk. So I think once this area is secured, we're going to have a serious foothold on this problem.
That's another good point. And you know me, I'm an optimist at heart, so I like looking at it that way.
I think the bottom line is Coast Guard's done an excellent job. I think they just got to, you know, they're at the two-yard line here. They got to bring it in for a home run and put some assets.
Wait a second. You just mixed up your sports analogies.
Home run at the two-yard line.
Okay. So, John,
At second base, and they got to get a touchdown. Third base, got to get a touchdown.
I understand, and every now and then we come up with some interesting ideas. Every now and then we come up with some harebrained ideas. But I understand you have some thoughts on doing a patrol out there of your own, and it has to do with a yacht. Did you want to talk about that at all? Don't just give me a yes or no right now, because we'll go to a break here in a second. But
I will say we are exploring some ideas, and if anyone would like to assist in the surveillance only, no action.
Okay, all right. Well, there's the teaser. Right there. Okay,
hold
it there, John, because
we're talking binoculars from the window. People, you know, if working, you know, there are a lot of businesses on close to shore, the Embarcadero.
Yes.
There's a security guard there. Should he know about it? Should he have a pair of binoculars? Should he be on the lookout? Some very simple things we could be doing. So,
all right. Well, hold the thought on the little patrols, because we do need to take a brief break here and hear from our sponsor of the show, Six Maritime, which, interestingly enough, this is right down Six Maritime's alley, isn't it? This is what they do.
Yeah, maybe we should talk to them.
Yeah.
I will write that in my notes.
Okay. All right. Well, listeners, stick with us. We're going to take a brief break and hear from our sponsor that we're proud to have, Six Maritime.
Six Maritime is a leading provider of professional security services for the maritime industry. Using state-of-the-art military and industry practices, Six Maritime provides clients with tailor-made, cost-effective solutions that ensure both safety and security in every environment. Six Maritime specializes in the use of early threat detection technology for both mobile and immobile clients, giving them increased warning time to any threat. Avoid the violence, deter attackers, keep your crew and cargo safe. Leading the next generation of security, logistically simple, technologically technologically advanced. Six Maritime. To learn more, visit sixmaritime.com.
Welcome back, listeners, and thanks again to Six Maritime for sponsoring the show. And listeners, if you or your organization are interested in sponsoring this show, G-Captain can work out a deal with you for some additional advertising or promotion. Shoot us an email. Give us a call. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor the show. We would welcome additional sponsors.
And we also must say, for individual listeners, we do offer a modest finder's fee if they get their company too. So send us an email. Mike McDonald and Rob Almeida are our sales guys for the job board and the regular. They're right on our Contact Us page, so contact them if you have a good lead on who might advertise.
Very good. So did you want to say anything more, John, about the cruises out there with regard to a bit of surveillance? My understanding it's a fun kind of luxury surveillance mission.
We're looking at the opportunity. We have some vessels here. I'll be honest. I admit I was going to sidestep the issue.
And are you going to level with
this
now?
Keep this on the down low.
Okay.
But we have some friends own large yachts in the area. And, you know, it comes down to the question of, this is America. We are a land of pioneers who don't wait for the cavalry to arrive before protecting their own. Now, I'm not talking protection at all. We don't have a vessel fast enough in the harbor to catch a panga boat, so we couldn't catch them if we tried. But my first step is to let the local harbor board, advisory board, chairman, do what he can, wait for Coast Guard response. Let's see if they do something. If they don't do something, looking at options of getting no direct involvement, but certainly getting more binoculars out on the water. And I think that's the key word, binoculars on the water, whether it's, I haven't come up with a specific plan. It may just be developing a GCAM pamphlet, handing out to local mariners, or actually getting some boats out with binoculars. But I think that's what us Americans do, right?
Very good. All right. We look forward to hearing more about it. So let's move on. We've spent much more time than I anticipated on the panga issue. So listeners, thanks for indulging John and myself on that. Because it is such a localized issue here, we're very involved with it. So thank you for indulging us. So pangas really relate to the whole piracy issue. And John, we only have about five more minutes or so. But this pushing of the balloon effect has happened over off of the continent of Africa. Because we know in years past, piracy was centered on the east coast of Africa, primarily the Somali pirates. And you brought to light for us, and G-Captain has, that this has spread over to the west coast off of Nigeria. And now, at the beginning of the year here, one of the first piracy acts is a little bit further south of Nigeria, down in Angola. So it's interesting to note, I noted by looking through the G-Captain website, that the first piracy attempt in 2014 on the Somali coast was thwarted. They actually were able to capture the pirates and save the day. However, over on the west coast, the attack was much further south than expected. The piracy, apparently, from the article that I read on G-Captain, occurs mostly up in the Gulf of Guinea and off the coast of Nigeria, but this was down off the coast of Angola. It hasn't been 100% confirmed at this point, but it looks like it was an act of piracy because a large tanker went missing. So we're seeing the piracy increase over on the west coast of Africa, and something that, of course, is going to be a continuing problem. But going back to what you mentioned before with our local Coast Guard here, they have moved the ball down the field and they're almost at a victory. It appears that on the east coast of Africa, they have had some victories there, and now the problem is spreading over on the west coast. So again, not too much time, John, but what are your thoughts with this latest incident off of the coast of Angola and what's going on with piracy in the world these days?
Well, first, I was curious about the pangas itself. We got a couple emails from questioners. What are these? What do they look like? And actually, if you go to Wikipedia, there's a very interesting article titled Panga Boats. It was designed in the boat type. Now, I thought it had been used by fishermen for 50 or 60 years, but it was designed by Yamaha as part of the World Bank project in 1970. And
the Panga boats were designed by Yamaha.
Correct. And the most famous instance of Panga boats is in Somali piracy. So these are the same boat designs as the Somalis are using. And if you're curious what this looks like, just think back to, I think most of our listeners have watched Captain Phillips' movie by now, the boat that they're attacking, that's a Panga boat. So yes, we've been effective in stopping Somali piracy. 15 incidents in 2013. That's compared to 75 in 2012 and 237 in 2011.
Wow. So those are impressive numbers as far as the decline in occurrence. That's great.
Yes. Now, some of the worry. Everything's been kind of locked down. The area that's locked down the hardest is the Gulf of Aden, because it's a moderately restricted navigation, and they can put a lot of warships, the coalition, and monitor this. And most of the vessels have security teams. Now, this particular attack happened in the Gulf of Aden, the most secure area possibly in the world, now because of all these naval assets, against a ship that had an armed security teams. That leads me to wonder, these pirates are getting bolder in their attempts. So we got to see if this continues, but this is a rather bold action by the
bolder or more desperate, or perhaps a combination of the two.
And it's still very early in the year, so the real lesson learned here is we know what's effective. Security teams are effective. Working with the coalition assets, whether it's in convoys or otherwise, is effective. It's proven work. It worked in this particular instance, but we can't let our guard down because the pirates are ready to take bold action, and they start discovering that companies lay off the security teams or the coalition assets leave. And I believe we'd see a reoccurrence pretty quickly.
I hadn't seen those statistics before, and those are heartening statistics in terms of the decline of occurrences. So that means there are solutions out there, and if the effort is given, that we can better this problem. So that's good news.
We can't let up, because as happens in so many incidences, the world gets this view. They see the movie. They see read the book. The president gets involved with a case like the Captain Phillips, and suddenly there's an infinite amount of money and resources important to the problem solved. And then what happens? The news media loses interest, yep. The president forgets about it, the public, and the mariners are stuck out there unprotected again as the ship owners trying to save money, lay off security teams. So that's the potential future, and why G-Captain isn't going to lay off this story and is going to continue to report on these incidents. As you mentioned, there's a more troubling incident, the oil tanker Kerala, lost communication, in quotes. That's the official report. It just disappeared off of the monitoring systems on 18th January. And some security experts in the region speculate that there's a Nigerian criminals are responsible. So we talked about Nigeria being the new Somalia, but also how it is very different from, there's a lot more cargo stealing. So they'll take a tanker, they'll bring it in, and they'll actually pump out the cargo, which is rather amazing because there aren't many refineries in Somalia. They'll pack it up, the crude oil, and put it on other tankers. Some ship owners, or maybe they're the mariners themselves, are accepting this cargo and selling it on the side to major refineries. And there are a lot more differences here between Nigeria and Somalia, but Nigeria is becoming the new hotspot, and we have learned the lessons in Somalia. We know what to do, but ships continually operate in Somalia with no coalition support and no security teams. So this is happening. We fixed the problem in Somalia, but we haven't come up with an international system to fix the problem. And there still is this upper level support, security teams and coalition, but the culture of how the marine business operates has not changed at a more fundamental level that's needed to fix this problem internationally. One example is security training to be a Master Unlimited to get your license. I had to go through security training and become a maritime security officer. And it was a 2-day course up at California Maritime College teaching me what to look out for. But that course was really designed with 9/11 terrorist-like attacks in mind. Now, the Coast Guard, I've heard some evidence that they're considering it, but they haven't yet added to that course and included a piracy element. So that shouldn't be a 2-day course. That should be a week-long course where 2 days are spent on the 9/11 and the next 3 days are spent on specifically informing mariners how to. But the Coast Guard is following STCW now, which is part of the IMO. So this is not just this country. It's globally. And we're not embracing the security teams in other regions. And the coalition will answer your calls, and they're effective if you're in the Gulf of Aden. You have the number. You know who to call. You know who you're talking to. You know that they will respond. But what happens when you get attacked anywhere else in the world? Who do you call? Why isn't there just one number? Who, if your house catches fire now, what do you call, Jeff?
The fire department.
What's the number?
Oh, 911.
And if you see an accident on the highway, 100 miles, 1,000 miles from here, what do you call?
The CHP, but I get it. 911. We've got a centralized number, yes.
It used to be that each individual fire department had their own phone number. That's where we are right now in the Maritime. Regions have individual phone numbers. It's not coordinated through geographic expert. There should be one phone number globally where you can get a hold of a coalition led by U.S. Navy and British Navy and our allies. That doesn't exist. So we have fixed the problem at the surface through the use of a lot of money. Mm-hmm. These warships are expensive. Security teams are expensive. So we throw money at the problem. But we haven't addressed any of the underlying issues. We haven't addressed the economic, and I'm not even talking the economic issues in Somalia and Nigeria that are creating the, but I'm talking about the culture of maritime training and how maritime companies operate has not changed much in the last 5 years.
Interesting. So what I'm hearing you say is we've had sort of a blunt reaction that has stemmed the occurrence of piracy, and now it's time to actually go further, refine the response and get a coordinated worldwide effort.
Yes, we can be more effective. We can take the lessons learned. We can do, and we can even do this cheaper at a global level than we are doing in Somalia. But, granted, it is going to take time. So not something, you know, GCAP is actively pressing but it's something we got to consider and should be in the back of the mind of the IMO and mariners and ship owners worldwide.
So I'm sensitive to the alphabet soup stuff because we do that a lot in the finance business. So IMO is the International
Maritime Organization based in London.
Based in London. The other one you mentioned that I don't know, what was it?
STCW.
Yeah, you threw that in there. So define that for us, please. There you go.
I'm getting tongue-tied now. Standards of training and certification of watchkeepers. I could be off. I'm just having a mind blank this moment, but it's the global, every mariner in the world, regardless of what country his license is from, there's a minimum level of requirements. You have to take a course, know how to basically swim, basic first aid, know how to operate a life raft. Those are all STCW training that's required for every mariner, and there's different for levels. So seaman has to take one level around the world, and an officer has to take another level, and this is all part of SOLAS, which is another acronym, Safety of Life at Sea, which was first enacted after the Titanic sank, and we realized, hey, we need to come up with a global solution to this safety problem, and they mandate everything from flares. Now, you go to the local boating store and you get a flare. They give it to you and it meets Coast Guard regulations. But if you want the commercial flares, and they sell it right here at Jerry's Marine, you ask for the SOLAS, and that's a ship flare, and you can take that and bring it on any ship and it'll meet regulations worldwide. And there are a lot of other things involved with SOLAS, but all, you know, life rafts, lifeboats. So we don't have a SOLAS or SDCW for ship security measures.
Okay, good stuff.
But regardless of what we do, it's to come. So mariners should be prepared for it. I'm not the only one speaking this. The Coast Guard is considering it. So expect those changes to happen, but not in the next 1 or 2 years. It'll probably be five to 10 years down the road is my guess.
Understood. And we appreciate the reporting that G-Captain is doing on this ongoing and very important issue of piracy. So congratulate the writers at G-Captain for us and tell them to keep it up, please.
We have nothing to do with it. It's the readers and listeners sharing the information and supporting us.
Very good. Hey, a quick mention before we close off this week, and we have gone a little long. Listeners, thanks for sticking with us. Captain Phillips, which I still hate to... Did you wind up
yes.
seeing it? I never saw it. So I'm going to wait until I have a premium channel, HBO, so hopefully it'll come out on HBO pretty soon or on one of the little discs, and I'll watch it on my television there. But Captain Phillips, I noticed, got 6 Oscar nominations.
Yes.
So it was well-received by the
excellent reviews from G-Captain. You know, I went in there saying, oh, here's another Hollywood movie. They're going to have these Hollywood actors. And then we follow Captain Phillips, and he's got a beard. And I think he's wearing a uniform at one point, which I've never seen a wearing whites. But we'll give Hollywood that. But then he goes up to the bridge, and this is what got me. He grabs the Motorola radio, which every mariner has seen on every ship, that same black brick that you carry. Authentic, and he walks down to the crew lounge, and they look like sailors, you know, and they're bitching about union pay and different things. And I said, "Those are my guys."
Yeah. You know?
I don't think there was an attractive. I'm gonna get the maybe. I think some of them are mariners, and they may be listeners, but none of you guys in that crew lounge in the Captain Phillips movie were winning any beauty contests. Sorry to say if you are listening.
Very good. Very good. Well, John, it's time for us to sign off for this week. Any closing thoughts with regard to the Panga Boat issue or piracy?
No, and I don't think our listeners really realize what a great resource we have here with Mr. Jeff Eccles. Not only has the radio voice and experience, but Harbor Advisory Board. He knows as he's been on ships crossing winter North Atlantic. Yeah. One of those crossings puts you in the club.
My 2 years as a merchant seaman, yes.
Numerous, but also really brought Jeff on because of his financial advice. He manages the money of wealthy individuals, including a few mariners.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need financial advice, highly recommended, but really can kind of flesh out some of these topics. Because a lot of this, as a mariner myself, I don't understand the ship owning, and that's an essential part of it all. So we appreciate your support.
Thank you very much.
And we'll have to get Eccles Wealth Management as a sponsor.
That's right. We're in negotiation.
We'll find out who the salesman there.
We're in negotiation right now. So I'm glad you mentioned that. And I appreciate those kind words, John. Well, listeners, thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week to keep up with what's going on in the maritime and offshore industry. On behalf of John Conrad and myself, Jeff Eccles, we look forward to speaking with you again next week. Be well and be safe.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest in maritime and offshore news. G-Captain Radio is a production of GCaptain.com and is recorded weekly in Morro Bay, California. For more information or to be a guest on the show, visit GCaptain.com.